Very happy to have with us now Bill Polian. He is the former president of the Indianapolis Colts, the architect of many a successful football team in a long run as one of the top executives in the league. Bill, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Hi, nice to be with you, Vic.
Well, Bill, I want to start, and now let's tell people what you're doing these days. You are, of course, an analyst for ESPN. You do great work with SiriusXM NFL Radio. I get to the pleasure of working with you there. So now you do the fun stuff, the analysis.
Yeah, that's right. Now I can make decisions without any ramifications.
That's the best. Those are the best kind of decisions to make.
They are.
Yeah. Well, okay, so there was a time not very long ago, in fact, much less than a year ago, when you were making these draft decisions, Bill, for the Colts. And I want to talk with you, along, of course, with your son, Chris Polian, the former GM of the Colts. When you get to this point where I guess I call it, I think I'm probably quoting you, the lying season, where there's a lot of misinformation that's dispensed about what teams might do and or what value players might have. It strikes me that in a matter of days of this past week, Ryan Tannehill, who I saw as an interesting, you know, athletic prospect who had very limited playing time in college at Texas A&M as a quarterback, suddenly is being talked about as this guy who could soar up the boards and maybe be as high as a fourth overall pick by the Cleveland Browns, some of the draft Knicks speculate. But what drives this? What happens when these sorts of things kind of come out of nowhere?
Well, in Tannehill's case, what's driving it is the position he plays, quarterback, and the fact that he does really have unique talent. And in my opinion, would merit a high pick. I'm a big Ryan Tannehill fan. And before I left the Colts, I did a complete scouting report, soup to nuts, with the exception of the physical examination and psychological testing on all of the top quarterbacks, a couple of whom really didn't even come out into the draft this year. So I know all three of the quarterbacks that are being spoken about at the top quite well. So Tannehill merits the attention based upon talent and a very, very high upside. He has not played as much quarterback as have Robert Griffin and Andrew Luck, but he is immensely talented, and he is a winner, and he's a high-character guy and a very exceptionally smart guy. So you know, he's got all the characteristics. This is real. Now, that said, his pick is kind of a pivotal pick, and the Browns are now the team to watch because Washington has traded up ostensibly for RG3 or Andrew.
Right.
And so now the quarterback sweepstakes is on. If you assume that Minnesota will take an offensive tackle and all of the wise men assume that that is the case, you should first of all assume nothing during the draft, but
right.
if you assume that that's the case, then the Browns pick number four is really in play. That's the pivotal pick right now. And people who are interested in Tannehill are going to try and look to come up there or perhaps even up with Minnesota to try and get in front of the Browns. And at the same time, perhaps do business with the Browns if they presume that Minnesota will take a tackle or Minnesota's not interested in moving out. So there's a lot of action right around that 3-4 spot. That'll be where all the action will be on the first day of the draft, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, the issue of visits and people coming into facilities
right.
is threefold. On the one hand, they're legitimate because you may need to have your doctors actually get their hands on the player if he has an injury history or an injury that troubles your docs, and that varies from club to club. Secondly, he may have a piece missing in his profile, which would be a personal interview, a psychological test, you know, an interview with the coordinator or something of that nature that you couldn't get done previously, and that's very common.
Okay.
And then the third is intelligence gathering, and that's more frequently done than you think. A player who you have absolutely no interest in, you bring in to find out who's interested in him, where he's been, what he's done, what people have asked him, et cetera, while at the same time creating a smokescreen for everyone else in the league.
Yeah.
Because as these visits are now chronicled, it seems on a minute-to-minute basis, somebody in Indianapolis looks up and says, holy mackerel, player X was just brought into Cleveland. They're not interested in an offensive guard. Why are they bringing him in?
Right. So you throw.
And if that's the guy you're interested in, you panic right away.
You
might be interested in trading with them.
You could throw people off the trail. I want to, before we leave the Tannehill topic too far here, Bill, is there a timing thing, though, for a player? So you talked about all his qualities, all his pluses, but the big minus, of course, is only 20 collegiate starts, more time as a wide receiver than a quarterback. Is it when you talk about a guy like this as a fit, and let's talk about it, say, from a Browns perspective or almost any team's perspective, don't you have to be set up a certain way to have the patience to wait for this kid to sit aside and let him marinate, so to speak, because he doesn't seem ready to come in and do anything as a rookie?
I would think that would be true. I mean, that would be the conventional wisdom. He could prove you wrong because he is immensely talented and very bright and very hardworking, but he could prove you wrong. But on the other hand, common sense tells you that he probably won't contribute right away. But what better situation than the Browns, for example, where Colt McCoy is already there and an incumbent and can play and has, if I'm not mistaken, two more or three more years on his contract, correct?
Yeah, he's got more time, yeah.
Yeah, he's got more time. So, you know, you could make an investment in the long-term future, bring Ryan Tannehill in there, let him get his feet wet at his own pace, learn the game, and much as Aaron Rodgers did at Green Bay. Now, I'm not comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, but
right,
not a dissimilar situation, and let him get ready to go and play when the time is ripe. So, and in the meantime, you have nothing if not a really quality backup quarterback that you hope wouldn't have to play, but if he had to, he was gaining valuable experience. So that's an entirely plausible situation from my perspective, assuming, of course, that Mike and Pat and Tom, you know, really, really believe that he's the right guy. That's a huge assumption.
Sure.
And I wouldn't put I wouldn't stack my judgment on quarterbacks up against those guys. They're terrific. So, you know,
okay,
it all assumes, of course, that they feel good about the player they're picking.
Sure. Bill Polian joining us. He's an analyst now for ESPN, Sirius XM NFL Radio, former NFL executive, many-time executive of the year in this league. Bill, as we talk about some of the other prospects, as you talk about the fourth overall position being so pivotal, so other names that come into the conversation, you hear about Justin Blackmon, you hear about Trent Richardson, we just made reference to Tannehill, but Morris Claiborne from LSU, the corner, a lot of names, and Matt Khalil, if he does happen to, if Minnesota does surprise us and not take him there, it just seems like there's a pretty good cluster of really quality players that come into that conversation. Am I hitting the right names, A, and you've studied these guys. Your thoughts on the merits of their value in that range?
Yeah, I think you're talking about all the right names in no particular order. There's always someone who could sneak in there, but I think that those are the logical people to be available at that slot. Most people, as I say, most wise men have Khalil gone to the Vikings in front of the Browns at three because he is such a outstanding pass blocker as a left tackle. He is not a big, strong bulldozer run blocker. That's not his strength. He's got great feet, great length, and he's a very good pass blocker. Strength is actually a little bit of a downside for him, but he'll grow into that as time goes by in the league. But, you know, Minnesota could also take Riley Reiff from Iowa, who is a little bit better run blocker. Or if they want Reiff, or they think they could get Khalil a little bit further down. They could trade out. So that ticks in play, yeah. As I said earlier. Secondly, Claiborne and Richardson and Blackman are all quality players. No player is perfect, but they all have tremendous positives as opposed to their negatives. And they, too, could be in play. And ironically enough, I could see the St. Louis Rams, who have gone down with the Redskins and apparently spurned the Browns' offer to trade up for RG3, I could see the Rams interested in coming up if certain things happened at 3, for example,
sure.
and wanting to come up for one of those 3 guys. So that would be, there'd be a lot of irony in that situation.
Yeah, heck yeah. No doubt.
But it's not without the realm of possibility.
Sure.
And, of course, the conventional wisdom is that Miami is going to look to come up to take Tannehill. But, you know, that's a little high for him, A. And B, you know, do the Browns really have interest in Tannehill, or can the Dolphins trade up a little bit lower and get him a little bit lower than that? We'll see. That's what makes the draft fun.
Oh, it's intrigue. It's all intrigue and fun stuff all the way around, no doubt. Bill, some other topics we haven't spoken since this happened. Peyton Manning, at least on the show, I should say, but Peyton Manning's signing with the Broncos, the guy that you drafted and brought into this league as the top overall pick with the Colts somewhat 14 years ago, is now a Bronco. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's great for the Broncos. It's great for Peyton. It gets him off the treadmill of uncertainty that the free agency represented. He'd never been a free agent before. And so it puts him in a situation where now he can concentrate on learning his new teammates, learning a new offense, and getting himself 100% healthy. I was told by people that I trust implicitly who were at his workout here at Duke University as recently as about 10 days ago that he could play a game right now, and in fact threw a simulated game in the Duke practice facility to receivers that he'd worked with the Colts. So he's ready to go right now. By his own admission, and this is something he told me fairly recently, he still has a ways to go before he's going to feel 100%, that he's 100% there. But he could play a game right now. There's no issue there. I know he's looking forward to getting with his new teammates and his new coaches and getting going. And, of course, it's a huge shot in the arm for the Broncos, who now have a quarterback who can win for them consistently in any way possible, running game, passing game, whatever it may be, coming from behind in 2 minutes, et cetera. And they also have the makings of a really good defense with those two pass rushers that they have coming off the edge. And I think a lot of people have missed this. The Broncos now have incredible veteran leadership in Champ Bailey and Peyton Manning, two future Hall of Famers that every young player on that team can look up to and say, this is the way you do it, the right way in the National Football League.
The other shoe that dropped, of course, with Manning's arrival in Denver is Tim Tebow being traded to the Jets. Gadget guy, a guy who looks like he's going to work in these special packages, Wildcat and so forth, with Tony Sperano now there in charge of that offense in New York. What do you think about Tebow's impact beyond just the headline-making stuff, the iconic stuff that he brings?
Yeah, spare me the headline stuff. let's talk about on the field and in the locker room. I think there are two ramifications to it. The first is that he is a package player. That's what he is. He brings the ability to run the spread option. He brings the ability to run a power running game where he, in effect, is a power tailback. He brings the ability to occasionally throw the ball from one of those packages, which keeps the defense honest. He fulfills everything that Rex Ryan wants in an offense, the ability to pound the ball probably 60 to 65% of the time in the ball game, the ability to keep a defense off balance and have to spend time preparing for a unique player, which Tebow is, and the ability to shorten the game and keep his defense rested and off the field, the so-called protection of the defense, the phrase that's being used these days. So from a football standpoint, it makes absolutely perfect sense. There's no question about that. There is one drawback to that on a football perspective, and that is that these types of package quarterbacks, going all the way back to Steve McNair, who by the way, was probably 20% package quarterback and 80% really outstanding passer, and Tebow is nothing like that. It might be the reverse. These guys get hurt. Michael Vick has never finished a season. Tim Tebow got hurt in the playoffs last year after playing, 12 games, I guess?
Yeah.
They get hurt. So the bottom line is that it's unlikely he will play 16 games, at least statistically. So that's a concern. The other concern is in the world's largest media market, where there is constant publicity every day, constant scrutiny every day, constant competition among myriad media resources looking for a story. He is a tailor-made story, and
sure,
can that cause some loss of concentration in the locker room on the job at hand, which is winning football games?
Boy, Bill, as usual, I could go on for hours with you, not just minutes. You're the best. We appreciate the breakdown. We will visit with you again. We look forward to it. And, of course, your great work on ESPN and SiriusXM NFL Radio.
Thank you, Vic.
All right. He is Bill Polian joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12, EA Sports. It's in the game.